Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. All right. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We have been talking on this series about redemption, living the redeemed life, living a life of redemption, living the redeemed life is the title of this series, living the redeemed life. And we've been talking, there's four Greek words in the New Testament that describes redemption that Paul used various times. And we're going to look, we've covered three. We're going to look at the fourth one today. And it is absolutely exciting. It is absolutely awesome. I love it. But all of them describe what redemption is. Because Paul lived in a time where slavery was rampant. And most people were slaves to the Roman Empire and different things like that. And slaves, I don't know if you know, but slaves were not allowed to even own anything. The clothes on their back, they didn't even own. They owned nothing. They weren't allowed to have ownership of nothing. But Jesus came to redeem us from that. And so the reason Paul uses all these this phraseology and these words and things like this is he was helping. He took what was going on in their society, and he was using it to describe what Jesus had done for us. Jesus didn't come to put us in slavery. That's what the enemy did. When Adam and Eve yielded to the temptation of sin, they ushered us right into the slave market of sin. They ushered us right in to being dictated by the devil what we're going to think, how we're going to act, how we're going to be, how we're going to do. Most people think that, no, I'm calling my own shots. No, if you're either surrendered to God or you're surrendered to the enemy. You don't know it, but that's the case because your decisions are motivated by one or the other. There's only two. There's God and the enemy, right? But Jesus came to set you free from having to do the dictates of what the enemy put in your thoughts and in your mind to do. Amen? Are you glad for that? Yeah. Hallelujah, man. This is good. This is shouting material. I'm just saying. You know, if you're sitting there and you're like, oh, I just want to shout so bad. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Let her fly, right? All right. So let's get into this. This is going to be absolutely phenomenal. All right, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I want to read a verse to you, and then I'll give you a definition. Ephesians chapter 1. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. This is good. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. I want to explain something real quick. I don't know why, but I'm going to do it anyway. Maybe many of you noticed that I was gone for much of the service. Well, I had my notes all prepared, and I came out here, and I kind of looked at them one more time, and half of my scriptures were gone. Half my notes were gone. I'm like, what happened? So I had to go back to my office and kind of get stuff back. And so I'm like, you lying devil, we're going to get this message out, and you're not going to stop me. So that's where I was, just in case you're, man, he was gone for most of the service. What kind of preacher is that? But anyway, it's a boy that's trying to get you everything he's supposed to get to you. Hallelujah. All right, so here we go. Let's give it to you now. All right, see, Ephesians chapter 1, look at this. This is absolutely wonderful. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, it says this. Ephesians 1 and verse 7, where is it? I've got it highlighted. There it is. It says, he is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. Now, I know that we've already looked at this verse in the series, but I brought it out today because I want you to see that that word, when he says he purchased our freedom, it is the word. This is the word we're going to talk about today, and I'll explain it to you. Last week, we looked at this word called latruo, which means that we were bought out. We were bought. Jesus came and bought us out. It means that we're bought out of the slave market of sin. Right? Well, here's this word. It's combined with another word, and this is what that word is. It's connected to the word apo. And apo in the Greek means back, or in this sense, it means to buy back, to buy back. So in other words, Adam and Eve sold us into the slave market of sin when they yielded to Satan in the garden, right? But all through that time, up until the time of Jesus, God was executing a plan. His plan from the very moment that happened was to get us back to our original status. And what a lot of people don't know is we have been fully, everybody say fully restored. Fully. Say fully. Fully. Say completely. Completely. Right? So what Jesus did when he came for us, he completely put us back in full status with God. See, now, most of the time when we hear the word redemption, well, I've been redeemed, we just, most people think, oh, okay, I've been saved. Well, it is that, it includes that, but it is so much more than just being saved. As I've referred to so many times, it's so much more than what Roger calls, you know, fire insurance. It's not just to save you from hell, but it was this redemption restores you completely to everything God intended for you to have when they were in the garden. There's only one thing that we have, that Jesus said will be the last thing that is dealt with, and it is death. Because when they were in the garden, they were never meant to die. Think about that. Adam and Eve were never meant to die. Death was not in God's vocabulary. It was not in the original plan. It's not what God intended. But because evil became so rampant, God had to put a cap on it. And say, okay, we can't let this sin stuff, we can't let these people live forever in sin, right? But here's the beautiful thing, because all along his plan was to bring us back, even though that's the last enemy of God that's going to be defeated, is death. But everything else, our healing, we were completely restored in our healing. Completely restored from having to be in poverty. Completely restored from having to live with anguish and anxieties and stresses. And God never, you know why it hurts the body so much? One of the biggest pains and the hurts in the body is worry. Doctors will tell you that. Most diseases and most stresses that people go through and things that people go through, most of it is created by worry, stress, and anxiety. Fear. When you go to the doctor, he says, you just need to relax. You need to rest. Isn't it beautiful that the Bible tells us in the book of John, Jesus says, labor to enter into my rest. In other words, and he goes on to say, rest from your own labors. Quit trying to produce what you need just in your own strength. Allow God to get hooked up with you. See, I can take a power tool, and I got the little bit on the end, and I could sit there and I could put it on the screw and I can try to twist it all in myself, or I can just hook up the battery. Come on. I can just put the battery on and pull the trigger, and I'm still doing some of the labor because I'm still holding it. So it doesn't mean that you do nothing. So we're not talking about sitting on the couch at home eating potato chips doing nothing, right? We're still talking about how God's not doing it for us. He's doing it with us. He didn't say Emmanuel, God for us. He said Emmanuel, God with us. He wants to work together with you. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit, to work together with us. Amen. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. But we have been fully restored from that original state. Isn't that awesome? All right, go with me to Galatians. Okay, let me finish. I got to finish this. Redemption. This word redemption comes from the Greek word apolutrosis. Apolutruo, which is what we talked about last week. You put them together, it's apolutrosis. And it means, this is the one that means fully and completely restored. Fully and completely restored. The first week we looked at one that described what the slave market of sin was. And then the second week we looked at one where it says that we were bought, right? We were the second Greek word we looked at was shows where we were bought with a price. The third week, last week, we looked at latruo, which is the word that what price was paid, right? Which was the blood of Jesus. And today, apolutrosis, we're looking at a word that shows us that we, not only did Jesus come and find us, not only did he buy us out of that slave market, right? Not only did he pay the price of his own blood, right? But we're looking at a word now that puts it all together and says, all that and some. All that and we were fully, completely restored back to what God intended all along. Woo-wee! Hallelujah! Oh, Lord, I can tell it hadn't hit some of you. Some of you still sitting here. Come on, man. get the revelation of this. I say, Holy Spirit, give me revelation on this. Because I have been completely, absolutely restored, fully restored to what God wants for me. Amen? So I don't have to be sick no more. I don't have to be poor. I don't have to be in stress. I don't have to. Why are you stressing? Obviously, you haven't been able to get it done on your own up to this point anyway. Ain't no sense in stressing over it. If you keep trying to do it in your own strength, it's going to continue to fail, so you already know the outcome, so what are you stressing about? And if you're going to trust God, why are you stressing? Because he's going to take, if you're trusting him, he's going to take care of it. You can't take care of it. You're putting your trust in one who can take care of it. Praise the Lord. It's all good, isn't it? How many know you begin to think like that, and it can put some joy in your heart. It can put some peace in your mind, right? Knowing that, hey, God's got this. Now, that don't mean I'm going to sit on the couch. And no, you've got your role to play. There's the human side, but there's the God side. Right? And when we put those together, I like Pastor Hagin, right? He always said this, it's the natural and the supernatural coming together to make an explosive force for God. It's the natural and the supernatural coming together when we really begin to see God do some amazing things. Amen. We're going to do our part, knowing God's going to do his part, and it's going to be glorious. Amen. All right, go to Galatians chapter 4. This is beautiful. Oh, my goodness, this is awesome. Galatians chapter 4, look at this one. This is absolutely astounding. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 7 says this. It says, now you are no longer a slave. Now, excuse me. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. Oh my gosh. You're no longer a slave because of what Jesus did. You are no longer a slave, and you become God's own child. And if you're his child, you have become an heir of God. That don't sound like slavery. That don't sound like bondage. That don't sound like anguish. That sounds like freedom. In the name of Jesus, glory to God. Isn't that fantastic? Hallelujah. Look at this one, Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to read this out of the New King James. So that apolatrosis means to pay a ransom for a slave's permanent freedom, to buy them back and put them into permanent freedom. That is astounding. All right, at Romans 8:17 in the New King James translation. The New King James Version. All right, here we go. Romans 8:17. And if children, right? We just read that we're his children, right? Romans 8:17 says, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together with him. So if children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Do you know what it means to be a joint heir? That means if I'm a joint heir with my brother, then I have as much access to what was left for me as he does. Because I am a joint heir. It just said, the book just told us we are joint heirs with Christ. Because most people believe, well, God will do anything for Jesus. Really? Do you believe that? Well, if he'll do it for Jesus, then he'll do it for you. Glory to God. Do you think God would heal Jesus if he needed it? Right? We are joint heirs with Christ. Yeah, I mean, if he believes it. Well, he wouldn't need to, but I'm just saying. Right? But if the Bible says I'm a joint heir, then I believe it. And if I believe it, it's mine. Right? Glory to God. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. In fact, here's a scripture. I'm not going to take you to it today, but there's a scripture. I think it's in 1 John, if I'm not mistaken. It could happen, but if I'm not mistaken. Hadn't yet. Well, many, many times over. But in me. But there's a scripture, I believe it's in 1 John, it says, God loves Jesus. Maybe it's in the book of John. God loves Jesus God loves you just as much as he loves Jesus. Amen. Oh, wait, PK, how can that be? Because Jesus never sinned. God ain't looking at my sin. That's the revelation you got to get. God ain't looking at my sin. He's not looking at my past mistakes. He's not looking at my errors. He's not looking at my shortcomings, my failings. He's looking at me through one thing, the precious blood of Jesus. He's looking at me through what Jesus did on the cross. And Jesus is there. The Bible says he's sitting at the right hand of God, ever making intercession for us. In other words, he's saying, hey, Lord, look at that one. Yeah, he's in my blood. He received the work that I did on the cross. And God's like, oh, let's bless him. Let's do something good for him. Come on, can you get that? Man, that'll put a smile on your face. Glide in your stride, a pep in your step, a bump in your jump. Come on. Anybody old enough, you know, to remember the Reebok pumps? Those things are supposed to help me to slam dunk on a basketball goal. Never happened. But anyway, but it didn't stop me from pumping them up. Right? Come on. We are joint heirs with Christ. We have access to this exact same stuff that Jesus has access to. That's why we're joint heirs. That's what being a joint heir with Christ does for us. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? All right, let's go to Romans chapter 3. I'm going to read a famous scripture. Oh, this is, man, tons of preachers love preaching on this verse. Oh, do they ever. Watch this, Romans chapter 3. Oh, goodness. Here we go. Watch this. Romans chapter 3. A lot of people like to quote this one, right? Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Let's look at Romans 3, verse 23 right here. Romans 3, 23. It says this. It says, for everyone has sinned, for all fall short of God's glorious standard. For all have sinned. Anybody ever heard preachers preach on that? For you've all sinned. You bunch of sinners. You worthless, shameful sinners. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So you need to repent. Turn or burn, or you will burn in hell. That's the way I heard it. Rather they use the voice dynamics I just used or not, that's what I kept hearing. Right? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What's the next verse say, though? Let's look at that one. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. That word, those two words, freed us, is actually the word redeemed. When he redeemed us, it comes from this Greek word, apolutrosis. So let's read it with that. Yet God, yes, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But that doesn't mean we can't still experience his glory. That verse we read a while ago goes on to say, well, if we've suffered with him, then we're also going to be able to enjoy his glory. See, why do we always focus on the negative side? And by the way, let me just a quick note on that verse where it says, "For if we suffer with him, it's not talking about sickness and disease. When it talks about suffering with him, it's not talking about anything that we've been redeemed from. It's not talking about sickness and disease, poverty and lack, and mental anguish and anxieties and stress. And it's not talking about that. It means that if people are going to attack us for walking, being a believer, Jesus said in the world there's going to be persecution. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And over in 1 John it says, and this is the thing that has overcome the world, even our faith. Amen. So we put our faith in him. We're going to overcome it. There will be some things that we will be persecuted for. There will be some things that we will suffer because we are followers of Christ. But it won't be the things we've been redeemed from. And we read that scripture last week in Galatians 3:13. It says, for Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He's redeemed us from curses and blindness and mental anguish and physical ailments and all that junk. Go back and read it. Deuteronomy 28. Read it for yourself. And then when it gets down to verse 60 and 61, it says, and any other curse that's not written in this book of the law, he's redeemed you from. Amen. So, I mean, even if they didn't get it written in the book of, you know, as a curse, and we've been redeemed from it. Why? Because God is good and only good. Amen. Glory to God. That is such good stuff. All right. But let's read this verse again. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. Apollotrosis. He has fully redeemed us, fully put us back, full, complete status return. Amen. Isn't that fantastic? All right. So let's look at I want to read verse 24 in the New King James. Verse 24 in the New King says, being justified freely by his grace through the apollotrosis, through the redemption, through the full status return. Amen? Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I love that word justified, because that word justified means this: just if I'd never done it. That's what that means. You don't believe me? Well, practice 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved. Because I've studied, and I know what it means. Right? Study to show yourself approved unto God. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Right? Glory to God. But it says right here, being justified. That word justified means justified, never done. In other words, no matter what your life has been like, no matter what sins or things, or worry or fear or stress or anxieties you've dealt with, you know, so what? The Bible says that you've been forgiven from all sin. All of it. Gone. Completely. Not pushed up on. God didn't lift up the rug and say, okay, Michael, sweep. Sweep all that under the rug. No, he says, let's rip that rug back, and we're going to blast it away. And it's like the blood of Jesus was in a big old fire hose. And he sees your sin, and he goes, oh, you asked me to forgive you? With the blood of Jesus. Just blast. You ever been hit with a fire hose? Neither have I, and I don't want to be. Amen. Them things can move some stuff, right? But that's what the blood of Jesus has done. It has completely blasted out all your mistakes, past, present, and future. The Bible says, if anyone has sinned, let them ask God. If anyone has sinned, let them come to the Father and ask him to forgive them, for he is faithful and just to forgive them and to cleanse them of all unrighteousness. So even if we make a mistake, we just go confess it to the Father. Say, Lord, I am so sorry. Lord, forgive me for that. Mean it out of your heart, and you're cleansed. Why? Because the Bible says Jesus became your sin so that you would become his righteousness. He took your bad standing and gave you his good standing with God. Amen? So that's right here. That's what gives us confidence to go to God. Remember what you did yesterday? Nope, God don't. I choose not to. That needs to be your response. Nope, God don't know about it. He forgave it, so I choose not to remember it. I choose not to let that hold me back. Hallelujah. I mean, you're talking about freedom. This is what freedom looks like. Amen? Justified through being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So in other words, you're not just purchased, you have been fully and completely restored. Isn't that wonderful? Let's look at two more verses and I'll be done. 1 Corinthians 1:30. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30. It says, God has united you with Christ Jesus. God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us. Freed us, there's that word apolutrosis. He completely and fully restored us back into right relationship with God and everything that goes with that. Everything that Adam and Eve had access to before sin, we have access to today. We have a right to be healed. We have a right to be delivered because of what Jesus did. Amen. Isn't that good? One more, Colossians 1:14. We've looked at that before. I want to close with this one today. Colossians 1:14 says this. Glory to God, this is good stuff, man. Well, let's just start on verse 13. It said, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. Verse 14, who purchased apolutrosis, fully restored, who fully restored our freedom, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins, who fully restored our freedom, fully, completely restored our freedom from the slaves, for the slave market of sin. In other words, let me close with this. Satan, no longer, as a child of God, now there's the prerequisite, isn't it? Being a child of God, surrendering your life to Christ, receiving and accepting what Jesus did on the cross to redeem you, receiving and accepting what Jesus did on the cross to buy you back, right? You got to do that. But once you've done that, you have been completely and utterly removed from Satan's grip. He no longer has authority. Now, he tries to exert some power over us, but that's where we've got to rise up in our authority and say, absolutely not. You have no place in my life. Who do you think you are? And no, whoever you think you are, you're not it. Because he thought he was something when he tried to take over God's throne, and God goes, I don't think so. Right? Hallelujah. We have been fully restored. We no longer have to live under the pressures of the enemy. We can say, Jesus, you're facing something, you don't know how to handle it. Man, if you're a believer, you can say, Jesus, how do I handle this? Holy Spirit, show me what to do here. What decision needs to be made here? How do I handle this? What do I do about this situation? Thank you for your wisdom. Amen. That's for fully restored people. And if you've surrendered and accepted what Jesus did on the cross and you say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. The Bible says with a heart, in Romans chapter 10, it says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession makes it salvation. So if you've accepted what Jesus did, you've received what he did on the cross, I mean, dying on the cross for you, being nailed to a cross, being whipped at a whipping post, you can't even recognize it's a human being hanging there, right? If you can accept what Jesus did, he did all that for you. He did all that for you, and he did all that for me, and I am forever grateful. I am extremely thankful. But if you can receive that and say, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life, I confess you as my Lord and my Savior, you're saved. And what does that mean? That means you are apolutrosis. Right? That means you have been fully restored, completely, nothing failing, completely restored into God's grace, completely restored to what he wants you to be. And now you have authority to rise up against the enemy and say, no, you're not bringing that sickness up in my house. No, oh, the lack, what do you mean I don't have enough money? God, what do I need to do? Fear, no, fear. This is not your home. This is not your place. Anxiety, no, not here. Nope, I've been fully restored. I've been completely restored. Can you do that with confidence? Come on. In the name of Jesus. No, no, no. Lying devil from hell. The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee. And I'm here to teach you today how to resist him. You resist him with saying, well, what is the Bible? What did we start this thing off with? Let the redeemed do something. We're supposed to do something. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Well, when the enemy's coming knocking at your door trying to push stuff on you, say, no, I am redeemed. Get out of my house. Get out of my life. Leave my family alone. We are redeemed. You have no right here. Get out. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's what the Bible's talking about. That's what the book says. Amen. Did that help anybody today? Glory to God. Stand up on your feet. Do some jumping, some cartwheels, shout, do something. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You have been. You have been apolatrosist. Hallelujah. I like that word. It's kind of a cool word. Apolatrosist. I have been set free. I have been fully and completely restored by the precious blood of Jesus. It was the greatest price ever paid for a slave. And he bought me out of slavery, the slave market of sin. And you could say it this way. He bought me out of the slave market of sin. He bought me out of the slave market of sickness and disease. He bought me out of the slave market of not knowing what to do. He bought me out of the slave market of poverty and lack and not having enough to do what I need to do. He bought me out of the slave market of having to be fearful and stress and worry about everything. He bought me out of that. He bought you out of that. You're free. The shackles have been removed. The bondages, the limitations have been removed because of what Jesus did on the cross, which we're going to be celebrating next week. Resurrection Sunday. Some people call it Easter. That's fine. Nothing against it. But I call it Resurrection Sunday because that's what next Sunday is really all about. Thank God for the Easter eggs, candy and baskets and bunnies and whatever. But it's about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes. Okay. On your way out, don't forget, because these door hangers that are sitting back here, take some with you. Hang them on some doors around your neighborhood. Put some in some apartment complexes. Whatever. I don't want to look next Sunday and see a door hanger hanging there or sitting there on our table. Let me tell you why. Because it says Easter on it. They ain't going to do us no good after Easter. Come on, let's get those things out there. Why are we doing this? Because we want people to hear this message. That they have been restored. You know how many people that they've been hurt and they're sitting at home and not in the church today because they think they're still in bondage and that they have no control over it. The fact may be, it may be in the natural, they may be in bondage. But Jesus came to break them out of that bondage. And he's already done the job. So let's go put those door hangers on there so they can come and hear this amazing message about being fully restored in God's grace. Amen. So make sure when on your way out, grab some door hangers and take them, get them distributed. And let's just, and as you're doing it, be praying over them, believing that God will attract people's attention to those things. And when they go to, even if they thought they were going to throw it away, when they grabbed it, something about that door hanger goes, maybe I should actually look at this one. Maybe I should actually go and check this out. Right? Come on, let's believe God for some awesome stuff. Amen. Did you guys know you're a blessed bunch? You are a blessed bunch. Glory to God, because God is so good to you. He loves you so much. Well, let's pray, and we'll go on and enjoy other parts of our day. Father, we